Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right on KPFT. This is Egberto Willis. Egberto, pronounced correctly. And I thank you one more time for spending one nice hour with me. It's been a very, very long week. I had a replay last week, as you guys all know. I spent a whole lot of time in Detroit last week. It was, to tell the least, a great experience. We actually went. I went out there with Netroots Nation, and with Netroots Nation, we were able to have a great rally. I don't know if many of you know the story of what's going on in Detroit. Detroit, as you know, has lost a whole lot of its infrastructure. It has lost a whole lot of its manufacturing base. It has lost a whole lot of just about everything. These people are struggling. These people are trying their best to move forward with the hammer. It's with the foot of the plutocracy represented, really, by their appointed governor, to just take and take and continuously take from them. Luckily, these people decided to fight back. Little quick story is what they tried to do was to take, as one of the activists told me, they try to run, wear them down. Right now what they're doing is they're attempting to take their water away. In other words, if you're 100, these are people, a lot of folks poor, not working, but they'll take your water away. They'll turn your water off. If you're $150, if you're $150 above or behind, they'll take your water away, they'll shut it off. They're doing the same thing that's being done to some extent in areas where they want to vacate people. Why do they want to vacate people? Because the land has become primo land, prime land. As the activist told me, riverfront property used to belong to the poor here in Detroit. Now they want it. So what do? They find ways to force you out. And that is what they're doing. But that's not what our show is going to be about. I just needed to mention that because, like I said, it was a great experience seeing people power. Because along with 3,000 folks from Netroots, which is the Netroots Nation 2014, which is sort of a branch off of the Daily Coast, they have the Liberal Bloggers Convention yearly in some city in the United States, and it was held this time in Detroit. Appropriately so, we had a real great march, and this march brought forth a whole lot of people, and this march actually got results. It forced the city to stop the shut off of water. It forced the city to sit down and talk to the likes of Maureen Taylor, who is one of the activists out there. So, in effect, Detroit stood up, and not only did Detroit stand up, but many other people stood up for their rights. So as I tell you guys on this show all of the time, we must stand up to this plutocracy. And you know who has become a part of the plutocracy? Our government, which means also we most, I mean, it sounds kind of cliche, but the reality is we must vote the bombs out. This election coming, it is our duty. You know, I have that phrase, citizenship should be, rather political involvement should be a requirement for citizenship. I honestly believe that. I live by that tenet. I try to tell folks we should all live by that tenet. We should all live by that tenet. Political involvement should be a requirement for citizenship. For if we're not involved in our politics, our citizenship has no meaning. So what are we going to talk about today? What are we going to talk about today? Refugees, the refugees on the border and how we are treating our great refugees. We must ask a specific question. Is this what we really want? Is this who we really are? You know, many Americans and their politicians should be embarrassed with their behavior with regards to the refugees on the Texas border. If someday, because of circumstances, Americans are forced to migrate, they should hope that the evil displayed against many of those immigrants, refugees, would not be directed towards them. It is so easy, very, very easy, to forget that as this land was populated by Europeans, it was just taken. Those refugees at the Texas border attempting to immigrate here for economic and political reasons, they just want a chance. Not to take the land, but to be a part of what was created here. To be a part of moving forward. That's all they want. That's all they're asking for. Many say, well, we can't take care of our own, but that's not true. We're asking countries throughout the world to take care of those in pain across their borders that are streaming over. We can look at Jordan. We can look at country over country that's doing what we are resisting doing here in the United States. Well, if we are to be the real leader of the world, then we should start acting that way. So what's the blog post today? It's not going to be the blog post that's going to be on Daily Coast this week because I actually did that one on my KPFT show. And talking about my KPFT show on Mondays at 9 Central Standard. This week, and I'll go into the blog in a little bit, but I need to mention this. This week, we had a very interesting event. There is a Palestinian journalist. Her name is Rula Jibril. She went on to MSNBC. And when Ronan Farrow asked her why it is that so many, that Israel has a tendency of enraging so many politicians, it gave her an opening to do something that commentators on MSNBC or any other network rarely, a commentator will rarely do what she did. She raged calmly. And notice I said calmly. I got into a bit of trouble because I said she went ballistic. Women got mad at me because they said, if it were a man, you wouldn't have said that. Actually, I would have said that, but I take comments. I listen. So she didn't go ballistic. She just forcefully and with dignity started to tell the truth. She told them that MSNBC and all the other stations were one-sided in the way they were telling the Palestinian-Israeli conflict story. She then reminded MSN or NBC that they removed Ayman Mojaddin from the Gaza Strip when he happened to reveal a true story of a bomb from the Israeli military killing four kids he was just playing with. She told all these stories and she excoriated the media. She let them know that they weren't doing their jobs. Well, immediately after, I was writing another blog. Immediately in listening to that sort of in the background, I flipped, turned it on and said, oh, this got to go. I immediately got a tape of it. I created a story around it and I posted it. It went through the roof. People wanted to hear the truth. Now, one of the things I said in that post is I wonder how much longer she will be a commentator at MSNBC. And lo and behold, a few minutes later, I see this in my thread. A tweet from Rula Jibril saying, all her appearances on TV were canceled. Think about that. All her appearances on TV was canceled for telling the truth. That night, or the day after, I believe, who do I see on MSNBC Chris Hayes' all-in show? Rula Jibril. She got one last crack at it. In other words, the social media went so crazy after her tweet because, you know, they couldn't believe the censorship. Well, they gave her, I mean, that doesn't mean they're going to put her back on, but they allowed Chris Hayes to come on to sort of give a rationale for that vile act. Hayes did is he went in there and he said, oh, well, you know, anybody who speaks that way, no matter the subject about the station, you upset people, they're not going to have you. He tried to do that, but she used that time again to really push her point across a media that is biased. When I saw that, I said to myself, my God, you know, this woman needs to be a spokesman. This woman needs to get her message out there because the reality is very few networks are allowing her message. So I said, you know what, I'll send her a message and ask, you know, if her to be on my KPFT show on Monday. So on Monday, starting at 9 Central Standard, somewhere around there a little bit after, we'll be honored to have Rula Jibril on Politics Done Right with Egberto Willis on KPFT. So check out, keep stab at our page for more information on the show. But anyway, let's get busy with what we're going to talk about today, which is the immigration fiasco. I called it the title of the blog post. Display of hate towards these refugees may come back to haunt us. The border crisis is not what most Americans believe it is. There are three types of traffic hitting our border today. There is the illegal drug smuggling. There is a standard undocumented migration of people that naturally occurs along borders between countries. Lastly, there is the immigration of refugees. That's what's occurring right now. Drug smuggling will not stop, as there is an insatiable appetite for drugs in the United States. There is a demand for drugs. As free enterprise capitalists, American leaders are cognizant that unless society changes or drug policy changes, the demand will be met. In fact, the drug smuggling across our borders is that demand being met. Migration between adjacent or close borders is not uncommon. It is not uncommon, especially if the countries have large economic or socio-political disparities that engender others to seek relief. The economic catastrophe that afflicted America in 2008, caused by a fraudulent financial sector, brought migration between the U.S. and other countries to net zero. Before I continue, folks, remember this is a call-in show. The number is 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. Please remember to push 1 to let me know that you want to speak. Continuing, explosion, however, from those coming to America from Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador is not a border security issue. It is not a drug smuggling issue. It is not an economic migration issue in the normal sense. It is a survival issue. These children and adults migrating are refugees. They are escaping violent gangs and the inability to survive economically because of an imposed environment. What many Americans seem to ignore is that we are measurably responsible for much of the pains of these refugees. Many Americans are unaware that these countries are the conduits used to feed our drug dependence. Cure America's drug addiction, legalize drugs, or both, and the conduit is useless. These countries can then return to a more stable footing. Stop supporting the oligarchs and ensure a more equitable distribution of these countries' resources, and there is no reason for the people to leave their countries. Problem is our businesses love supporting oligarchs, and dictators for that matter, as it isolates them from the job of enforcing economic fairness to the masses. A few weeks ago, I wrote the following in a blog post titled, Angry, Shameful Display of American Disdain for Those Other Immigrants, in which I said the following. Before forcefully and angrily throwing immigrants out, they should remember that the many founders of this nation themselves were immigrants. They should remember as well that they came here as well to make a better life for themselves. The big difference is that the process of migrating to this land, the first immigrants violently took the land and enslaved the people to profit from the land. The intrinsic benevolence of many fought to make this country not what it was, but what it was to become, a more inclusive country attempting to widen democracy. Immigrants coming to America today do not have conquest on their minds. They just want a better life. They just want access to success. Today, meaning yesterday, I received an article titled, Strangers at Our Door, Refugees, a Crisis of Conscience for American Christians, from one of my favorite conservative writers and authors, an author of An Upward Calling, Michael Stafford. It was exactly the piece I was looking for to conclude the article. Michael Stafford has many important quotes in his piece, but the piece is best read in its entirety. So go to the blog and click on it, check it out. Here's what he says. As children often traveling alone, these refugees are uniquely vulnerable, and yet their arrival has been met in many instances with ugly scenes, including displays of rank nativism, cruelty, and hatred. Instead of finding sanctuary and protection, they are the targets of abuse. As CNN has reported regarding the shameful incident in Murrieta, California, busloads of babies in their mothers' laps, teens, tweens, and toddlers, were met by screaming protesters, waving and weaving American flags, and bearing signs that read such things as return to sender. These reactions communicate a brutally simple message. You are not welcome here. Migration has been a constant throughout human history. As a species, humanity has always been on the move. This will undoubtedly be the case in the future as well. Indeed, we can expect even more people to take to the roads and seas of safe harbor in the days ahead. As societies become increasingly insecure and brittle under the stress of social, economic, and environmental degradation and the political instability and violence they engender. But these problems are not unique to the developing world. Only our own arrogance prevents us from recognizing that we may one day be numbered among the world's masses of displaced persons ourselves. We have thus picked a very poor time to harden our hearts to the plight of refugees and other immigrants. Strangers in desperate need are arriving at our door. As Christians, and this is my friend, he's a devout Christian, as Christians, we cannot respond with cold hearts and locked gates. We must minister to their suffering by offering them shelter and a share of our own abundance. As Christians, we must welcome them in. Michael Stafford is absolutely correct. Those four paragraphs, and they're not all connected, but I thought I extracted them. Those four paragraphs have a very important message every American should heed. We must be careful, for we may be judged for how we treated those that heeded or needed refuge. Our time will come when, our people may have to migrate northward and southward, eastward and westward. Will the response be reflective of those of us that displayed an un-American evil? The number is 646-929-2495. And my first caller, my friend, John, talk to me.
Yeah, it was quite a coup you got in getting Rula Jabril for your show on Monday night. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. I think the story is appropriate, you know, that to talk about, because I think it's one of those stories that, you know, it's so poorly covered. In as much as I think the social media world has changed as far as what they think is going on out there, there is still a slant in the media that is just attempting to equate the, you know, what I call the false equivalences of violence. The false equivalences of violence. Look, I am not taking sides in this particular, before we get into immigration, but I'm not taking sides in the Israeli-Palestinian issue at all, because it is too complex and it's beyond my pay grade. It's beyond everything that I know, and I don't want to put my foot in my mouth for not knowing something that I should. What I do know is the outcome. And when you see the disproportionate deaths, the disproportionate killings, the disproportionate destruction of property, the destruction of livelihoods, the destruction of homes, the destructions of environment, one must take heed. You say, John?
Well, I think the most important thing is that right now, unless something's changed within the last hour or so, you know, right now they're having a ceasefire, and that's what we should really be hoping for, is that, you know, to end the violence. And the violence must end. We must try to negotiate some kind of peaceful settlement. I know that that's extremely hard because both sides are dug in.
Right.
You know, any kind of positive steps that have happened, you know, to stop the violence, you know, are important. I'll go ahead and get back to immigration. So I want to go ahead and start by quoting John Carter, who's who represents Round Rock, Texas, north of Austin. He's a Republican congressman. This is what he said about the Republican bill. He says, "I'm not going home. I don't have enough guns to protect myself." He told CNN about his determination to get something passed in the House. Expressing his anxiety about the need to address the situation in the state, Carter said, "It's that bad in Texas." And so this is, you know, representative of the complete, you know, lack of reality in the whole situation. And, I mean, it's just so absurd to say that you know, I don't have enough guns to protect myself. These are children. And we've gone over this. You did a really good show, I guess it was two shows back on KPFT, that talked about this for an hour, and I'd recommend anybody to listen to that podcast. So I don't want to go back on too much of that, but I mean, I agree with your opinion that it really shows a lack of compassion, and it's really showing an ugliness that you know, I hate to see Americans portray. And it's also, I mean, it's really changed people's minds too. There was a poll that came out on Thursday, and this is talking about, you know, this is kind of a rolling poll that they do. And the question is, it says, what should the main focus of the U.S. government in dealing with the issue of illegal immigration, developing a plan that would allow illegal immigrants who have jobs to become legal U.S. residents, or developing a plan for stopping the flow of illegal immigrants into the U.S. for those and for deporting those already here? Okay, now in January, 31st through February 2nd of this year, 54% said become legal residents. 41% said stop illegals, deport. Now, they just had a poll in July 18th to the 20th, and that there was a 19-point turnaround. So in other words, right now only 45% say that they want to, that the main priority should be having people who aren't documented become legal residents, and 51% say that they should stop illegals and deport them. So that's a really, really big change. And it's really sad that people are, you know, don't have this understanding. They don't have the compassion. And, you said it was a sad time a couple of weeks ago, you know, and I agree with you. And, I mean, what's going to be the solution? I mean, the Republicans, their bill, what they're talking about is eliminating the 2008 Wilberforce bill that grants temporary asylum for people who are victims of violence and drug trafficking, I mean, and who feel in fear of their life. They want to overturn that. They also want to overturn DACA. So, you know, that may pass the House, but it's never going to go anywhere. And it just right. seems like, what Obama proposed, a $3.7 billion bill, that's not going to go anywhere. The Senate Democrats have already pushed that back down to $2.7 billion. And that, you know, that probably won't pass either. And so, you know, this is going to go on and on. I mean, nothing's going to be granted. They're going to run out of money to actually, you know, have to deal with this situation. They're going to have to take money from other funding to deal with this, just because our Congress is so broken. And it's not just Congress. You know, let's be specific about it. This is the Republicans' fault. And Republicans, it's hard to believe that Americans are that cruel to these people, you know, who really need our help. And at the very least, these young kids, they need to get represented. I don't know if you saw Chris Hayes' show last night, but they had,
yes, I did.
Alexandra Pelosi was talking about some of the trials that have been going on in the hearings, rather, in Houston. And she was saying that, the odds are like 1 in 1,000 out of all these kids actually getting through. Now, a few weeks earlier, the numbers were like, you know, a 50-50 chance, you know, that people would go in. But now, you know, since all of the kids have come in, there's such a backlash. And it's just, you know, it's just so incredibly sad. You know, I just thought America was better than that. I really did. And,
now, do you think? Let me ask you something, John. Do you think? What was the name of the representative that you were talking about in Round Rock? I forgot his name.
Yeah, John Carter.
John Carter. That. Do you think he really believes what he was saying, or do you think he's continued the standard Republican play on your fears to get in? Because, you know, I look. On this show here on Coffee Party, I really try my best to not be as partisan as possible, but we have reached the point. We're just, as you say, let's be specific. These guys have allowed what I call, they have allowed evil to be vogue. In other words, And I don't say that lightly. When I say evil, I mean exactly what I am saying. They have allowed evil to be vogue. Whenever you can take from your population the ability to get health care to save your life, that is evil. Whenever you treat a refugee population the way these are treated, that is evil. Whenever you do these things, it is patently evil. And I think one of the problems that we have is that folks are not calling out these, you know, not calling these folks out, because, you know, the narrative that they try to give is sort of a glory, glory, hallelujah, and somehow that these people are just trying to get one over or come over here for something free. That turnaround that you saw in those polls, you know, it's Americans feeling like at first the benevolent portion of Americans came out. But then when they thought that these folks are going to come over here and somehow then affect their standard of living or affect them, suddenly the defense mechanism comes up. And I think that's what you're reading in those polls, the defense mechanism. And these aren't bad people. These are people that are saying, you know, look, just maybe they, just maybe what these guys are saying is true, when it's patently false. And the one last thing that I really want to get across before is, when we see, look, I'm from that part of the world. I'm from Panama, Central America. And I can tell you, U.S. policies impact, it has a strong effect on every country south, well, every country in the world, but specifically on every country south of the border. And America's support of several guerrillas in El Salvador, in Nicaragua, played a part in what we're seeing now. America's dependence on drugs creates a huge market that somebody is going to fill. And that is what we're seeing. We're seeing the results of all these things. And nobody wants, you know, we sit down here and we say, oh, we need to stop them from doing these things, when we have created policies that enforce what they're doing. It is, you know, how do you tell Americans that, John? How do you try to get that across to Americans?
Well, I agree with that to a certain extent, but I also think that, you know, it goes beyond that, though. These are problems that are, you know, that are dealing with the culture to some degree. Also, you were talking about the drug culture. What is the solution
right
to that? Well, one solution is to legalize marijuana. I mean, that
exactly
would, most people understand that marijuana is definitely less dangerous than alcohol. And so, you know, if it gets to the point where it could be legalized, then that would cut down on a lot of the drug trafficking. You know, when you're talking about heroin and cocaine, I don't know if that really should be legalized. I just think those drugs are too powerful to make them to the general public. So how do you deal with that? I don't know. I mean, that I'm, you know, willing to have, you know, hear both sides in a debate on that question. But, I don't necessarily think that it's an easy answer, you know, because part of the reasons why so many of the, you know, the drug lords and the gangs are going to Central America, specifically, like you said, Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, is because the drug wars here. I mean, the drug wars here and the drug wars in Mexico, you know, which were escalated in the last, you know, part of the, you know, the last 10 years in Mexico, they went away from Mexico into Central America. And also,
right,
you know, you can also blame the drug wars for having an impact on those states. I mean, those states like Honduras, I mean, they have very tough drug laws. In fact, you know, I've read many articles about, they're saying they're too tough. In other words, let's say you're a young kid. You get caught with, you know, either pot or cocaine or heroin, and you're put in jail for a long sentence. And who are you with? You're with other gangs. That's how
right
you get indoctrinated into the gangs. And so, there's a lot of different variations going on as far as how to deal with the problem. And also, you know, once you deal with kind of a gang mentality or kind of a mafia mentality, you know, if the drug route is eliminated, they just go on to something else. I mean, we all know how the mafia has extortion
right.
rackets. And you look at the coyotes, what they're doing now, and what they're doing is they're lying to these people. They're saying, oh, yeah, if you go, you're going to get in. And so then just pay us money and, you know, you'll be able to go to America. And that's, you know, that's also part of it. So, I mean, so the gangs have a tremendous impact. If you look at Nicaragua, I mean, the economy in Nicaragua isn't, you know, is actually very similar. It's not much better than the economies of the other three countries, yet they don't have as much violence. And so that's why they're not coming over as much. And so, you know, that is the main point. And that's what some of the other questions, it's amazing to me that, you know, in the polling information, you know, 45% of the people say they're coming because Obama made it easy for them to come. I mean, which is just, you know, this is just propaganda, you know, that's being perpetrated that people believe. I mean, yeah, majority, you know, understand they've done their due diligence. They understand the real situation, which is dealing with the gang violence and dealing with the poverty, but more so even with the violence. But that's what they... You know, people just don't understand that. They're so, you know, caught up in all this, you know, propaganda and all this, you know, dehumanizing of the Central American refugees. And it's just, like I said before, it is very sad. And I think what...
It's amazing,
you know,
because when I think it was Pelosi... I think it was a Pelosi interview. One of the ladies said, yeah, she knew it was dangerous. She knew what she was in for. But anything was better than where she was coming from. That, I think that pretty much defines what a refugee, I mean, that almost defines that she is, in fact, a refugee. You know, I mean, and our doors should be open to folks like that. You know, I mean, I understand what you're saying. It's complicated. And it's not, there's no quick fix at all. There's absolutely no quick fixes. However, when you look at other border areas, you know, whether we go into the Middle East, where they're or Africa, where America is asking many other countries to open their, you know, their borders for these refugees that are coming in across the border from Syria, across the border from what's the country in Africa that's having the genocide? Sudan and all these other places. But then again, when it comes to America, we put on an attitude like we do here. I think it is not only hypocritical, it's wrong. It's pretty much darn evil. But hold a second. It seems like I have 620. Is this Jack?
Yeah. Okay.
You have a comment,
I was gonna
Jack?
Say, yeah. What I was gonna say, that gal we talked about, 16, 17 year old gal. I think she got the refuge.
Right.
She's in. Yeah. And that's good news.
Did they allow her to stay? Oh, so they did allow her to stay.
They allow her to come in. Yeah. And the thing to do with the coyotes is punish them severely. It's not just coyotes, it's the gangs. And we got gangs in Chicago and New York and Los Angeles and all these other areas, maybe even in the small towns.
Right.
And you got the thing you're going to deport, you're talking about deportation. You deport those guys. Those persons
yeah.
who are engaged.
Hey, you know, Jack.
I suggest.
Jack, listen to this. Jack, listen to this. There's a person in the chat room that says something that is bewildering to me, and this is what he says, and I wish he would call. He says, these illegal immigrants are coming here because Obama invited them to come. If these people
baloney.
Are so poor, where the hell did they get the money to travel here? My dear friend, Flycatch, why don't you call? I would like to talk to you, but I'd like to say something specifically. Do you really, really believe what you're saying? Do you really believe a president of the United States, Republican or Democrat, is going to specifically go out there and invite folks to come to the country in this form when there, first of all, there's no political benefit for this? Why would they do such a thing? Think about it. Why would they do such a thing? Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Here is Mr. Flycatch's response. Ethnic replacement is the name of the game, and the white and black race will eventually be pushed to the curb. First of all, I need to specify something that is very important about Central America. Central America is no different than America. When people talk about Hispanic is not a race, or Latino is not a race. It's a culture. So when those people are coming across the border, they're going to be black, white, blue, and everything in between. Okay? That's the reality. Unfortunately, those people that are pushing the propaganda of hate, which I can see, my dear friend Flycatch, you are listening to, it's not really true. These are not people trying to replace white America. These are not people trying to replace black America. These are people wanting a break. If we change from that hateful way of thinking and start trying to adopt policies that help folks irrespective of who they are and what they look like, we wouldn't have a problem. The only reason we have problems, you know, whether it's racially or otherwise, is that the plutocracy uses that to keep people separately or keep people separate, and they can keep, if we can keep people separate, we forget that that very small amount of folk to the top are just a small amount of folk to the top, and that we, everybody else, irrespective of what you look like, are the majority. Your statement, Mr. Flycatch, what it does is it plays into their game. You are actually one of us, Mr. Flycatch. You are one of us. You are not one of those people who should be hawking the way you are, really. Anyway, Jack, continue.
Okay, let me continue. Let me feel my train of thought. They punish the coyote severely. And I think there's something doing in Honduras that they are catching their coyotes. And it's not just the coyotes, it's the gangs. And
right.
We've got... You got gangs in Chicago,
right.
Los Angeles, New York, and even into small towns. I don't
right.
know about
absolutely
the schools as small as my town of Hooker, Oklahoma. That's where I'm living right now, or Hugoton, Kansas. You got to stop the war on drugs. You got to stop the war on drugs.
Right.
And I think I don't know what you're going to do about cocaine and the real big drugs like cocaine and
others. Okay, Jack.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put you on hold a second here, Jack. Look, thank you for my usual good bit of information from you, my dear friend. But let me say something else. I'll be back with you at the closing, Jack. Mr. Flycatch, John, I need to come back to you because Mr. Flycatch here in the chat room shows exactly what we're fighting and the kinds of propaganda that goes out there that talks to the carnal, you know, the carnal nature of folk. His next message, or the person's next message, is the grand plan is to import 30 million of these Latinos over the next 10 years. With these numbers that the demographic, wait, with these numbers, the demographic, and political structure will change. Stop being so naive, host. You know it is the truth. Mr. Flycatch or Miss Flycatch, I don't know which one. No, it's not about naivete. It's not about any of that. I guarantee you, my dear friend, these aren't folks that have been told to come here because they're trying to change the political structure of this country. It has nothing to do with that. I know that makes good fodder. It's a message that many people want to accept. It simply is not true. Now, whether someone like myself can convince you otherwise or John can convince you otherwise, I don't know. But like I mentioned before, these are the types of things that are put out there to separate Americans. The Americans down here, you separate them, and the people that we should really be looking at, the people that are pulling our strings, the people that are really harming the country, not the immigrants, not the refugees, the people that are really causing us pain by fighting on immigration, by fighting on health care, by fighting on all these other things. We forget to look at the people that are truly causing pain, the people that are truly causing unemployment, the people that are truly causing the extraction of wealth from the middle class. You want to add something to that, Jack? Are you still there? John.
I agree with you completely. It's ludicrous what Flycatch is saying. The demographics are already going to be changing. I mean, the demographics are going against white people like myself, because they're just not simply having as many children as the Latino people. So, this whole idea about having this massive, immigration for political reasons, and that is a meme that is, right at the top of all kind of right-wing propaganda. It's just ludicrous. I mean, this is already going to happen for the people that are already here. I mean, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that's why Karl Rove, and George W. Bush wanted to pass immigration reform. That's why, the Republicans, when they lost the election, knew that they had to, to change their game plan. What was the top thing to change their game plan so they could be competitive, in the coming decades? They need to pass immigration reform. And you have this, hardcore anti-immigration, and this has gone on in all periods of our country, going back, every ethnic group has been slandered. The Irish have been slandered, the Germans have been slandered, the Chinese have been slandered and sent back. There have been, periods where there have been, very, very little immigration going on. And so this is kind of ebbs and flows in our history. And it's just absurd. It just shows that are we going to be a nation of bigots or not? And right now it's leaning towards that. And I just hope that we can find our better nature and go against this. Because this has been
It is a fear. I see, and I even see the fear in Flycatch's statements that he makes, the person buys into a whole lot of this, and they don't realize. Just eliminate the fear for 1 second. He comes back and he says things like, these people are illiterate or otherwise. But get out of that realm and try to feel yourself a part of an integrated culture, and you see how much better it feels. I love integrating myself with every culture. It is so much more exciting, I from Central America, we have our culture. I am married to an American, a different culture, born American, different culture. It's exciting. Let me bring 313 in. 313, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Different culture. It's excited.
313, could you turn your thing down and you're on the air right now? I think he just hung up. I wonder if that was was that you, Flycatch? I mean, if that was you, try calling again. But yes, John, it is so much, you know, I think that's what we have to do. I think one of the things that I am trying to do with my programs is when you have these people call in with this type of a statement, my goal is not to shame anybody into thinking otherwise, but to let folks see that, you know what, first of all, it is your fears are understood. You know, I mean, you know, if you've been a majority with ultimate power throughout your existence and life starts to change and that isn't the case anymore, there's nobody, eventually there will be no race, ethnic, creed, or anything, anyone that has that preeminent power in this country or throughout the world. I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, at some point, it is just going to be, what can you do and how can you get it done? And when we get there, it's going to be great forgetting about all these side stories and these things that keep people fearing. Flycatch, oh, that wasn't you that called. Okay, but Flycatch, you see what I'm saying, man? If you can simply not have the fear and try to embrace, let's assume you're right that a lot of these folks that are coming over are illiterate. So what do you do about that? Let's make it better. Let's make it better for them. And together we grow. Think about that, Flycatch. It's not all that difficult. It's better to go on the good side than to go on that side that is just mean. Because meanness, what does it bring? But anyhow, John.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, one of the great things about living in San Antonio is that we are a majority Hispanic city here. And, you know, and I don't look at that. I mean, I think that's great. I mean, this is the way I've grown up my whole life. And, you know, to be completely honest, I think that most of the you know, politicians, I relate to the Hispanic politicians much more. You know, I live in the north side of San Antonio,
right.
North central side, and it's, you know, there was like 7% in my city council district, only 7% had Democratic representation. So I mean, you know, you have
right.
all these, you know, affluent white people who always, you know, vote for Republicans, and you know they have this kind of demeaning attitude, and you know that's not what I want to embrace. You know, one of the things that I love is like they have the accordion festival every year, and they have all these great international groups from all over the world, and I love that. You know, I love seeing, you know,
John, I gotta take another call real quickly, but that's what I love about you and a lot of folks like yourself is it is so much more to embrace other cultures. It's so much more fun. Actually, I've adapted quite a few myself. 424, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hey, how's it going? This is Justin from Los Angeles. You're Belizean?
No, I'm from Central America, Panama.
Oh, you sound Belizean. My mom's from Belize, Central America. I'll be there in 7 days.
Oh. All right. Talk to me, my friend Justin.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, a lot of times that Democrats and Republicans on both sides, you see the major difference and split when it comes to social issues. And this so-called border crisis is a social issue. It's
right.
an issue where you need to help people. And, you know, we've been to Central America. We've seen how some of these people live. And, you know, American poor and third world country poor are two different things.
Absolutely.
I mean,
you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct.
You know what is interesting?
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. It's your show.
No. I mean, I want you to finish your thought, my friend.
Yeah, you know, before I went to Belize, I had never seen an illegal gas station where you pull up and you say, I want a half a bucket of gas, or I've never seen someone's house being made out of metal, little metal sheds, and you can
zinc.
Plug up
it's
to someone
zinc.
Else's house.
Yeah,
yeah, zinc, that's
right,
what I meant
right.
to say. You plug up to someone else's house, and that you get electricity from someone else's house.
Right. These people survive.
Yeah, these are normal things that people have to deal with, but we don't realize that. We don't realize that, you know, these kids aren't being sent alone by their parents. These kids are coming on their own as an act of desperation, looking for a better life, seeking pursuit of happiness. And that says that pursuit of happiness is written in a lot of our
Constitution, think about this. That is the same reason why the founders came to this, or the pilgrims came to this country, and others. Like I put in the blog piece that I preceded the show with. There's one difference. They came and they conquered. These people that are coming today are not trying to conquer. They are simply trying to have a life. I'm almost out of time, Justin, and I have one more call. 313, thank you very much for calling. I hope you continue to call our show. 313, who am I speaking with?
Hi, Bruno. This is Mike Wilde.
Hey, Mike. Talk to me, my dear friend.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I just want to add to the discussion? Yes, I just wanted to add to the discussion about saying that I think history is going to look at the events that are taking place down in Texas as far or anywhere around the border as being one of the biggest shames that the United States of America has ever faced. And that's just basically my view. How can these people begin to think that America is a club versus a country?
Absolutely so, Mike. Absolutely so. Thank you for your words. We are at the end of the show. So what I'm going to do, Mike, is ask you for a 10-second remark before I leave. So give me a 10-second quickie.
America is built on immigrants, and that is something that cannot be denied.
Thank you very much, Mike. Justin, give me a 10-minute closure here, buddy.
America, pursuit of happiness, land of the free, land of opportunity.
Thank you there, Justin. Jack, 10 seconds, just 10, Jack.
Okay. I learned to, I'm from a we were all white, integrated we'll go back in 1950 when I was in a fraternity. We had blacks, Spanish, I suppose,
and
Chinese,
integrated
too well. I always knew
you were a good person. Always knew you were a good person, my friend. And John, close me out.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, these kids deserve a chance. They deserve to have legal representation, and that's the thing, you know, that I think that people should be pushing for. I know that that's probably not going to happen, but that's what people should be advocating for, to see that they get a fair trial, and if they're really in danger, that they don't be sent back.
Thank you very much, John. I hope to see we're having our show with Rula Jibril on Monday on KPFT 90.1. I'll have that at the site, on the Facebook site, Politics Done Right. Folks, thank you very much for spending this time with me. I'm happy that you gave me this hour of your time. Please remember to call in. We actually have several different shows. Specifically, we have on Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern, Press 1 for Democracy with Dan Aronson. On Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, we have Lunch with Loudon. And Saturdays, you're here with me, Politics Done Right with Egberto Willis. You have a wonderful weekend. Thank you very much. Arrivederci. Bye-bye.